Sunday Tama Talk.
Good morning and happy day, friends and listeners. We bring you another engrossing Sunday Dharma Talk by renowned Venerable Pra Teb Yanamankon. Pra Teb Yanamankon, or as he is called by close laypersons, Tan Jakun Teb, or Luang Pa, is one of Thailand's most revered meditation masters, Buddhist scholars, and educators. Now on a third term as national coordinator of the Provincial Meditation Institutes of Thailand, he is also the deeply beloved abbot of Wat Luang Pho Sot, Dhammakaya Ram, in Damnern Saduak's district of Ratchaburi province. Venerable Jakun Teb has received honorary doctorates from both Mahajulalongkorn Ratchavithyalaya University and Mahamangkut University. He was also bestowed with the Go Award for outstanding contribution to the dissemination of Buddhism by the Parliamentary Committee on Religion, Arts and Culture in the year 2010. I'm Sakrapan Yemakdun from Thailand, and I will be your moderator today. Namaskar krap, Than Phadet Pakhun, Jakun Pra Teb Yanamakon. Welcome back.
Jiren Porn to you, our regular listeners and newcomers. I am happy to be back.
This is our 59th consecutive Sunday Dharma Talk. I'm sure that our listeners are looking forward to learning more in this fourth of our continuing series, In the Prosperity of Life for Peace and Happiness. But before we get to it, could you please summarize our last Dharma Talk?
Last month, we continued the third in the series of Prosperity of Life for Peace and Happiness. I spoke of career achievement and the practice which will lead the practitioner to success, prosperity, and security in their chosen career. It should be noted that a career must depend on right livelihood or right occupation. Only because wrong livelihood begets bad deed or bad karma. This then produces bad karma results. Dharma principles necessary for career achievement are having moral conduct or sila, right wisdom or panya, the five ennobling virtues, panchatham, and ittibada or virtues for success. Whoever applies those Dharma principles properly to their life is more likely to have achieved success and fulfillment in one's career.
Thank you, Venerable Sir, for that summary of last month's Dharma Talk. According to the series list, the topic for today is Good Household. Could you please expand further on the subject and how we can apply Lord Buddha's Dharma to develop a good and harmonious household?
Firstly, you have to understand that the proper practice to having a good household must depend on the ultimate teaching of Lord Buddha, so that practitioners and their family members live together happily and in harmony. To live together happily and harmoniously, a couple must not become involved merely due to lust. This will only bring suffering and problems in the future.
Venerable Sir, did Lord Buddha give us a particular practice for lay people to follow?
Lord Buddha did, and it appears in the Bali Canon. It was a sermon for those who are living together and raising a family to follow, and hence achieve a good household. The Lord Buddha's sermon was given to a wealthy man named Singkala in the Digganikaya Patikavaka. I will summarize as follows. A household is obliged to take care of his wife in five ways by honoring her in accordance with her status as his wife, not looking with disdain upon her, not committing adultery and he should give her control over household concerns, and occasionally give her gifts such as jewelry and clothing. A wife is obliged to look after her husband also in five ways: by keeping the household tidy, helping his relatives and friends, not committing adultery, safeguarding any wealth that has been acquired, and being diligent in all work.
Thank you, Venerable Sir. So based on the homily of Lord Buddha, there are a total of 10 basic behaviors that pertain to our topic today, 5 for a husband and another 5 for a wife. Could you please go through and explain them for us?
Yes, of course. I'd be happy to do so. A husband should basically do these 5 things for his wife. The first one is to honor her in accordance with her status as wife. This means that he honors her status as wife officially, such as registering a marriage certificate or bringing her to society and declaring her to be his wife in public. Doing so will reinforce proper commitment and loyalty and encourage her to serve him kindly. Most importantly, it reflects a good sense of responsibility which a husband should have for his wife, children, and family. Throughout the world, it is accepted to honor a wife. It's a good cultural practice. We often see that invitations mention both husband and wife when asking people to join ceremonies. It's impolite to invite only one without the other. In addition, it's a reflection that the husband is responsible and has good character. Therefore, this is praiseworthy when one is considered for promotion or receiving of a responsible task. Compare this with another person with the same quality of knowledge, capability, or intelligence, but may not have a stable family life or of lesser moral character. Common sense dictates that if one cannot even manage his own family, how he manages an organization or task which requires more skills and responsibilities. Today is the age of globalization and technology. People around the world receive information in a blink of an eye, but also people forgo or are unaware of the ultimate teaching of Lord Buddha. Many around the world lack moral restraint, such as moral shame and moral dread. As a result, we more often see and hear of social problems. Such arise in the member of single mothers and single fathers. This social problem is derived due to selfishness and lack of responsibility for oneself, family, society, and nation. Our leaders on all levels must be role models. By their good behavior through bodily, verbal, and mental actions, to set a higher moral standard for others to follow rightly and properly.
Thank you, sir. I think I see it now. For both a husband and wife, actually for all people, it's necessary to have moral rectitude, to be responsible, to be of responsible character. May we emphasize what sort of behavior is needed to be a good husband?
That's right. Moral rectitude is necessary for all people, especially for people who live together. This brings us to our second behavior. A husband should not look with disdain on his wife. For example, when a couple decides to live and raise a family together, a husband should not insult nor talk behind his wife's back. Rather, he should treat her with loving kindness and compassion by wishing for her happiness and well-being, as well as helping her gain relief from suffering. When a conflict occurs, both should try to resolve the conflict peacefully in order to avoid a possible quarrel or any other sort of action which might occur bad feelings. A good husband should honor his wife appropriately and be considerate. Doing so helps establish loyalty, warmth, and peaceful happiness in the family. And a husband must be faithful and considerate to his wife by not committing adultery, just as whatever you may feel or love, so others also feel the same way as you do. Moral behavior versus immoral behavior, such as sexual misconduct, plays an important role in the family. Without it, anger and quarrels will arise, leading to a broken family with mental and physical sufferings. So, both should be faithful towards each other for the sake of harmony, peace, and happiness. Moreover, sexual misconduct and debauchery often leads to misfortune, such as bad reputation, loss of wealth, physical and other mental sufferings. In addition, sexual misconduct opens oneself to the possible contracting of sexually transmitted diseases and other fatal viruses, which then leads further to the diminishing of family life due to loss of work, lack of trust, or broken family. Such improper behavior also leads to mental suffering stemming from lust, greed, and attachment. After death, one is reborn in suffering worlds of hungry ghosts, animals, demons, or hell beings, as stated by Lord Buddha, Citta Sankilite Sukati Tukati Patikankha. When the mind is defiled, suffering world is surely destination.
Thank you, Venerable Sir. That leaves two final behaviors of a husband.
The first three were behaviors that a husband must not indulge in. The last two are behaviors that a husband gives to his wife, that is, to give her control over household concerns, because by doing so, it shows his confidence in her to take responsibility for household affairs, such as finance, property, and family members. As a result, she will gain self-esteem and be willing to reciprocate with love and kindness. Nowadays, there are more working women helping their husbands and families financially. Some couples do not share their income and spending, and this does not establish a good commitment and trust from each other. When conflicts occur, they will be more likely to break up. Lastly, a husband should give gifts to his wife occasionally, such as, for example, jewelry or clothing. This to establish unselfish, loving devotion and encourage her to remain steadfast in the relationship. For a husband who is selfish, it is hard for a wife to be proud of him, and as a result, she becomes discouraged and unwilling to remain in a happy and loving relationship.
Those five types of behavior don't seem that hard and are just common sense. Moving on, what about the five kinds of behaviors of a good wife?
A wife who is respected and taken care of by her husband, as mentioned, should unselfishly reciprocate in the following five ways. Keep the household tidy. Help his relatives and friends, not commit adultery, safeguarding any wealth that has been acquired, being diligent in all her work. Note that the first, fourth, and fifth are confluent practices. That means that she should manage all household work properly and diligently, as well as spending money carefully, economically, and reasonably. A wife should avoid any possibilities that might, for example, lead to lost property, such as gambling or frivolous spending. Today's lifestyle is a lot different from the past. As I said, there are more working women, and they rightly ask for equal rights regarding occupation and status. But because of this, they handle more responsibilities than men, because they undergo pregnancies and raising the children. Therefore, the husband shouldn't overlook this. He should be considerate and treat her with loving kindness and compassion. For the sake of establishing harmony, a better living and peaceful happiness, so both should share the responsibility and help each other, in addition to helping her husband's relatives and friends. She should avoid any possible conflict, especially with his parents and relatives, or even with friends. She should try to help them with regard to a given situation as she can. Finally, infidelity is not a practice that should be followed by both husband and wife. Married couples should be content with what they have and faithful to one another, showing moral restraint and developing virtuous behavior. This will establish the bliss, warmth, and peaceful happiness necessary for being an exemplary parent for children. In conclusion, Dhamma practices for a good household will lead practitioners to prosperity, warmth, and peaceful happiness. If both husband and wife treat each other kindly, compassionately, and considerately, especially being faithful to each other.
Thank you, Venerable Sir. Today you've given us another insightful talk in our continuing series of Prosperity of Life for Peace and Happiness. And it's really common sense and not that hard for us as husbands and wives or lay people to follow. We just have to treat each other in a way we would expect to be treated. Thank you very much. I know that our listeners will look forward to next month's fifth and last Dharma talk in the series. Now, with the time remaining, could you please lead us in a few moments of meditation?
Let us begin by requesting the five precepts. Let us begin by requesting the five precepts.
Mayang pante visung visung ratanakhaya disarane nasaha pancha sila niya jama tutiyampi mayang pante visung visung ratanakhaya disarane nasaha pancha sila niya jama tatiyampi mayang pante visung visung ratanakhaya disarane nasaha pancha sila niya jama
Namo tatsa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhatsa. Namo tatsa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhatsa. Namo tatsa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhatsa.
Namo tatsa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhatsa. Namo tatsa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhatsa. Namo tatsa Bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa
Buddhang saranang gacchami
Buddhang saranang gacchami
Dhammang saranang gacchami
Dhammang saranang gacchami
Sanghang saranang gacchami
Sanghang saranang gacchami
Tutiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami
Tutiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami
Tutiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami
Tutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami
ทุติยัมปิสังฆังสรณังคัจฉามิ
ทุติยัมปิสังฆังสรณังคัจฉามิ
ตติยัมปิพุทธังสรณังคัจฉามิ
ตติยัมปิพุทธังสรณังคัจฉามิ
ตติยัมปิธัมมังสรณังคัจฉามิ
ตติยัมปิธัมมังสรณังคัจฉามิ
ตติยัมปิสังฆังสรณังคัจฉามิ
ตติยัมปิสังฆังสรณังคัจฉามิ
ปานาติปาตาเวรมณีสิกขาปะฏิสัมมาทิยามิ
ปานาติปาตาเวรมณีสิกขาปะฏิสัมมาทิยามิ I undertake the precept to refrain from destroying living creatures
อทินนาทานาเวรมณีสิกขาปะฏิสัมมาทิยามิ
อทินนาทานาเวรมณีสิกขาปะฏิสัมมาทิยามิ I undertake the precept to refrain from taking that which is not given
กาเมสุมิชฌาจาราเวรมณีสิกขาปะฏิสัมมาทิยามิ
กาเมสุมิชฌาจาราเวรมณีสิกขาปะฏิสัมมาทิยามิI undertake the precept to refrain from unlawful sexual activity.
Musavata veramani sikha padang samatiyami.
Musavata veramani sikha padang samatiyami. I undertake the precept to refrain from incorrect speech.
Sura meraya macha pama tathana veramani sikha padang samatiyami.
สุราเมรยะมัชฌะปมาทฐานาเวรมณีสิกขาปะฏิสัมมาทิยามิ I undertake the precept to refrain from intoxicating drinks and drugs which leads to carelessness
อิมานิปัญจสิกขาปทานิสีเลนะสุขติงยันติ
สาธุ
สีเลนะโภคสัมปทา
สาธุ
สีเลนะนิพพุติงยันติตัตสมาสีลังวิโสทะเย
สาธุ
Prostrate three times to the Buddha statue if available. Now we begin meditation. We sit uprightIn a regular meditation posture, cross-legged, as seen in some Buddha images, with the right leg resting upon the left, the right hand rests on the left, palm turned upwards, with the right index finger just touching the left thumb. The body is straight, and the mind is fully alert. Take a deep breath and relax the body until you feel comfortable. Close.Your eyelids lightly, do not press them. We use two aids, a mantra, Samma Arahant, and an object of visualization, a bright, clear, luminous sphere called the Aloka Kasinya, or light object. Using these aids, we draw the mind inward to the center of the body, and the mind, components of vision, memory, thought, and awareness come together into oneness.Imagine a bright, clear, luminous sphere located at the center of the body, 2 inches or 5 centimeters above the navel. Rest your mind inside the sphere and repeat Samma Arahant, Samma Arahant, Samma Arahant continually and mindfully. Look for the pinpoint of the bright light at the center of the center. Focus your mind there, stop still.When the mind stops peacefully, still at the center of the center expands itself and becomes a new sphere. Place your mind gently inside the new sphere. Look for the pinpoint of the bright light at the center of the center. Place your mind there. Stop still. Eventually, a bright, clear sphere will arise. This is the Dhamma sphere. Do not be overjoyed.Keep your mind calm in equanimity. Hold the mind still and stop repeating Samma Arahant. Just concentrate at the center of the Dhamma sphere. This is your own nucleus which gives rise to this body and this mind. You choose experience greatest happiness you have ever known, not happiness based on an external object, but happiness arising from within.Due to being fully pure from the 5 hindrances. continued meditating as before by stopping still at the center of the center of the Dhamma sphere. When the concentration is just right, sphere after sphere pops up by itself from the center, each one inside the previous one. The spheres of sila or moral behavior, samadhi or concentration, panya or wisdom, vimutti or transcendence, and vimutti jnana tassana or insight appear one after the next. Enter each sphere successively and focus your mind still at the pinpoint of bright light or hollow spot at the center. When the mind stops still, a new sphere emerges. When you reach the inside sphere, you continue in the same way, stopping still at the center. Again, the center expands itself, but this time, instead of a new sphere, you see your own refined human body, sitting cross-legged in meditation position, facing the same direction as you are facing. Don't be startled. Just keep observing. It looks very much like yourself. It has your own face, but it is brighter, purer, and more radiant. It may even be crystal clear. Take your time to make the body and its pedestal bright and clear. When you feel comfortable with the refined human body, place your mind gently inside the refined human body. Expand to feel the whole body. Feel the body from the inside. Feel the arms, feel the legs, feel the head, feel the toes. Say to yourself, I am the refined human body. I have become the refined human body. I have the refined human mentality. When you feel comfortable inside the refined human body, place your mind gently inside the sphere at the center of the refined human body. Focus on the pinpoint of the bright light at the center of the center. The center expands itself, and you see your celestial body. For those who reach this state of mind, go on with the same procedure as larger and larger, more and more radiant. Bodies appear, become each more refined body, one by one, until you reach Dhammakaya. Dhammakaya looks like a transparent Buddha statue, very radiant, very pure. The Buddha statue, sitting cross-legged, is about 9 meters in height and width. Become Dhammakaya fully, right way. And now let us share all of the merits that we have made in this meditation and previously. Together with all of our loving kindness, with all beings everywhere throughout the universe, we share with our parents, our grandparents, our family, our teachers and our friends. We share with our king and our queen and the whole royal family. May Lord Buddha bless all of us to lead a peacefully happy life, free from suffering, free from problems, and free from enmity. And may this meditation help to bring us closer to transcendence and nirvana. And now we come slowly out of meditation and open the eyes.
Thank you very much, Prathep Yadamongkon. We reverently appreciate your superb meditation instruction.
May Lord Buddha bless all of you. We would like to invite you all to join us for meditation at Wat Luang Phosphat any Sunday. Our bus leaves from Watsakate, the Golden Mount Temple, at 7 o'clock every Sunday morning. I lead morning chanting and meditation for all, beginning at 9:30, and Prabhat conducts an afternoon meditation session in English from 12 to 2 p.m. Please come join us. For details, please see our English website at www.meditationpark.org and www.dhammacenter.org. or our Thai website at dhammakaya.org.
Sunday Dhamma Talk.